Well, over the last few weeks, we've been studying this passage from Psalm 46:10, which simply says, "Be still and know that I am God." And over the past few weeks, we've talked about some of the things in our lives that keep us from being still and knowing that He's God. And we learned in week one, if you are too busy, you need to slow down. For some of us, our lives are way too noisy. All these voices feeding into our lives, and if your life is too noisy, you need to quiet down. Some of us are way too connected. All the screens and the devices that distract us. And if you are distracted by all the things you're connected to, you need to learn to put it down. And yet some of us live lives that are full of worry. And if you are too worried, you need to kneel down. And that brings us to this concluding message in the series, Be Still and Know. And I'd like to tell you about something that happened with my kids when they were growing up. I borrowed an idea from our youth ministry days when we would do something called a secret destination. And the kids wouldn't know where they were going, but they were told when to show up and what to be prepared to do. And I started doing this with my kids as they were growing up to give them something to look forward to. Sometimes it would just be going to a movie, going to the zoo, or sometimes we'd go on a trip a little bit farther away. And one weekend we did a double secret destination. We took them up to Chillicothe and we saw the Tecumseh Outdoor Theater. And on the way back, they thought we were all done, but we stopped at a place just outside of Bainbridge called the Seven Caves. Did any of you ever go to the Seven Caves? Well, my daughter liked the outdoor drama better, but my son loved the Seven Caves. But on the particular day we were there, it had been kind of rainy and wet, and it was a little muddy. And so we were a little concerned about the kids slipping on the rocks or stepping in the mud. So I told them, stay right behind me, and I want you to just follow in my footsteps. And if you follow me, I'll try to get away from all of the wetness and the mud so you won't slip in the rocks and fall. And so they followed me step by step. But I don't know if it's just a boy thing or what, but somehow Doug got off the path. And he ended up stepping in a mud puddle, and his shoe was sopping wet the rest of the trip, so you could hear it squeak, squeak, squeak. I tried to tell him, but I tried to spare him and my daughter stepping into something that would get them in trouble. And the truth of the matter is, as we try to follow Jesus, most of us step in it sometimes too, don't we? And I think this is why the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:21, to this, meaning this life, to this life you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. And so Peter is encouraging us to do what Jesus encouraged him to do, and that is to follow Jesus step by step, walking the way He did, talking the way He did, living the way He did. And that's how to live a life that truly honors the Lord. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6, John chips in on this idea and he says, we can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments. If someone says, oh, I know God, but does not obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. And that is how we know we are living in Him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. That should be the hallmark of a Christian. When people who don't know Jesus look at our lives, they should be able to recognize that person is following Jesus. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but Jesus was passionate about spending time with His Father. And I think that means that if we want to follow in Jesus' steps, we must also learn to spend time with our Heavenly Father. All relationships take time to develop. And this means that if we're going to learn to walk in Jesus' steps, even if His stride is a little different than the way we're used to walking, we need to learn the rhythms of His life so we can follow Him and live like He lived. So when you discover your life is too busy, you need to follow Jesus. You need to slow down so you can seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and He'll take care of all of the things that we need. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me today to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 801. This is one of two passages we're going to look at today, but I want to show you an example of how Jesus' life got a little crazy busy and what He did about it. Mark, chapter 1, starting in verse 29. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away, so He went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and helped her to sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and He cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who He was, He did not allow them to speak. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. So here we see, even at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, as people began to discover He could perform miracles, He could make sick people well, He could cast out demons, He could cure a fever. And as the word spread, when Jesus arrived someplace, the crowds came. And in this instance, many people came, and they brought people who were sick and needed to be healed. And Jesus stayed up all night and took care of them. But then it says in verse 35, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. I'm sure some of you have worked in some jobs and careers where you too have been very busy. And when the job gets done and when all the people are taken care of, I bet the most important thing that you're thinking about is getting some rest. But Jesus got up the next morning and He went to an isolated place to pray. His life had been so busy, but He was not too busy to pray and to spend time with His Father. And I think that's such an important example for us. Many times we say yes to way too many things and our lives get crazy busy. And it's really easy to put our relationship with God on the back burner. But Jesus didn't do that. And if Jesus saw the importance of building that relationship by taking that time and getting away from the busyness in an isolated place where He could spend that time with His Heavenly Father, if He needed to do that to maintain His strength, how should we do any less? It's really important. If your life gets busy, you need to slow down. When you discover that your life gets too noisy, you need to follow Jesus. You need to quiet down so that you can hear and recognize your shepherd's voice. In Gospel of John chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says, "When the people saw Him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, 'Surely He's the prophet we've been expecting.' When Jesus saw they were ready to force Him to be their king, He slipped away into the hills by Himself." It was getting a little too noisy. People were saying, "Man, You've got the power. You can save us from this tyranny of the Roman Empire. You can usher in the kingdom of God." And Jesus knew it wasn't His time. So He slipped away and He went to a place of solitude so he could spend time with his heavenly Father. In Matthew 14, we read that King Herod had John the Baptist beheaded. And it says in Matthew 14, 13, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Jesus was grieving. You might remember Jesus recognized John, his cousin, was a great prophet, and he prepared the way for Jesus coming. And Jesus was greatly saddened when he heard the news of John's death. And it says he went away to be alone, but he really wasn't alone, was he? He spent time with his Father. So when things get too noisy and life hurts, there's an important place for solitude where we need to quiet down and be still so we can be with God. When you discover that things in your life are way too connected, you need to follow Jesus. You need to put it down so you can reconnect with your Savior. I found this interesting cartoon talking about how wonderful it is for Thanksgiving dinner. Thank goodness the American family has time to get together on Thanksgiving, and they're all on their devices. I don't know if you've seen this Christmas card that a creative family decided to put out for the holiday season. Couldn't take time to take the picture and look into the camera. They had to get their message out. And I wonder what some of the angels might think when people who are too connected get to heaven. They say you can't take it with you, and maybe that means your devices too, but what are people going to do in heaven when they can't text or scroll Facebook? If you're too connected, you need to learn to put it down. 1 John 2:15 to 17, John writes, "Do not love this world or the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father. These are from the world." And when you discover that your life is just too full of worry, you need to follow Jesus. You need to kneel down so you can experience His peace, peace that passes all understanding, that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want you to see how Jesus showed us this very thing. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I want to read from Luke chapter 22. If you'd like to follow in a chair Bible, it's on page 848. But this is after the Last Supper. This is after Judas has gone to get the Jewish and Roman guards to come and arrest Jesus. And in Luke 22, starting in verse 39, it says, "Then, accompanied by his disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went, as usual, to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, 'Pray that you will not give in to temptation.' He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine.' Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. At last he stood up again and returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. 'Why are you sleeping?' he asked them. 'Get up and pray so that you will not give in to temptation.'" And as Jesus knew what was facing him, the suffering, the torture, the flogging, and the cross, he knew that's why he came, but it was on his mind. And he asked his Father, "Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine." And if you're facing worries in life, maybe you're facing a financial crisis, maybe you're facing a relationship crisis, maybe you're facing a medical crisis, and it's really worrying you, it's okay to tell your Heavenly Father, but yield to His will just as Jesus did. Jesus' priority of solitude and taking time to spend with God, both talking and listening, it's everywhere in the Gospels. It's how He began His ministry. It's how He made important decisions. It's how He dealt with troubling emotions like grief. It's how He dealt with the constant demands of His ministry. It's how He prepared for His death on the cross. It's how He cared for His own soul. And Jesus invites us to follow Him in this example of times of solitude so we can know God as Abba. But if you've been watching the Chosen series, they use it a lot talking about Dad. Abba is a term of endearment. Abba means Daddy. It's a much more intimate name than a formal Father. It reminds me at my previous church, the worship team was getting ready for a worship service and the band members were playing. And the young man that was playing the drums that day had a little daughter who was about 2.5 years old. And he had come early to practice, but mom and his little girl came a little bit later, right before service. And as the band rehearsal was done, the mom was in the back with the little girl and she let her hand go. And that little girl came running down to the front and she didn't say, "Oh, Father." What did she say to her dad? "Daddy!" And she threw her arms open and Jason picked her up and held her. And that is the kind of intimate relationship our Heavenly Father wants us to develop with Him. So we can call Him Abba, Daddy. For a Jew, referring to God as Abba was unheard of in the ancient Israel times. They didn't do it. It would have struck them as irreverent or even presumptuous to call God in that way. But not only did Jesus address God as Abba, He taught His disciples to do the same. And we as His disciples can have that kind of intimate relationship with God. So I want to ask you today, how would your relationship with God be different if you started addressing Him more intimately as Dad or Daddy? That'd be a little different, wouldn't it? But when you have a Father who loves you, when there is a warm relationship with your Father, it's okay to call Him Dad or Daddy. And I think that relationship develops as we spend more and more time with our Heavenly Father, when we actually take the time to be still and know that He is God. Solitude is a spiritual discipline. It is way too easy to become too busy, to have a life that's too noisy, to be so connected that you don't pay attention. It's easy for your life to become full of worry that you don't make it a priority to spend time with God. But the truth of the matter is this: if you really want to do something, you'll find a way. If you don't want to do something, you'll find an excuse. And we have an enemy who is more than happy to supply us with all kinds of excuses for not taking time to be still and know that He is God. So my challenge for you through the course of this series wraps up in this message to follow Jesus. I want you to slow down and to quiet down, to learn to put it down so you can kneel down and be still and know that He's God. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we live in such a busy world today, and it is so easy to fill our schedules and to fill our calendars and to fill our lives with so many things, and we only give You what's left, if there is anything left. We are bombarded with voices and messages from all around us seeking our attention and taking our time. And it's so easy to lose a simple recognition of our Shepherd's voice. It's so easy to be too connected and to be too worried about things that we don't take time to be still and know your God. But even though Jesus had way more important things to do than we ever will, he very often went off to isolated places so he could experience times of solitude, building his relationship with you. And if Jesus needed that kind of strength that comes from time with his Father, how much more do we need it? Lord, we've read many things in your word over the course of this series, and we've even been singing this song, Word of God, speak to us. Help us, Lord, to hear your word. Help us to follow Jesus. And help us make regular time with our Daddy a priority. Help us learn to be still and know that you are God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response?
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.